Amen. Thank you so much for having me here this morning. It's a great honor and privilege to be back here at Faithful Word, and it's great to see some familiar faces this morning, as well as many new faces. And I'm going to apologize in advance, but I am trying to preach a sermon for a mini documentary that we're doing this morning, and so I'm going to try and make sure that I go through it with the spirit of Segura, so I have 1,000 words per minute. But if it's a little bit longer, just please give me a little bit of that grace. But we ended up making a film with Pastor Anderson and some of our friends called Sodomite Deception a few years back. Who ended up getting to see that film? All right, great. And everybody obviously liked it, so because you're here this morning. But, you know, we have gone through several adversities as a church, as well as a lot of our friends, since that film has been made, and we've gathered a lot of different footage, and we were using it for other purposes. But then I thought, you know, it'd be great to just make just kind of a sequel, a mini doc, where we drop out a lot more of this footage, but kind of focus on a little bit different aspect, and that is the terrorism aspect of what's going on in our country today and what's going on with this LGBT mafia. And so the title of my sermon this morning is this: the LGBT terrorists. The LGBT terrorists. Amen. And that's what we have going on in the world today, and specifically in America. And God hates these people. Look what it says in Psalm chapter number 5, verse 4. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. So the Bible tells us that there's a group of people that God hates. There's a group of people that the Lord abhors. And notice the description of these people: bloody and deceitful. And boy, does that describe the LGBT today, where they're very terroristic, they're very bloody, but they also like to lie about it and deceive people on this issue. And they don't want people to know the truth about them because of how evil and how wicked they truly are. Look at verse number 10. This is the attitude of the Christian. This is the attitude of the God-fearing man. Verse 10, destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. What a powerful clumping of verses that tell us that the godly attitude is to wish for their destruction, is to hope for the Lord to destroy them. And when the Lord does destroy them and defends his people, defends children, defends the innocent, that the reaction is to shout for joy.
Amen.
And, you know, when you realize that these individuals and these people are terrorists, it can help you have the right mindset and the right attitude towards them. But of course, they want to deceive you and lie to you about what they're like. So as you sympathize or you have pity on these individuals, but we should realize that they are the terrorists that the Bible describes them as being. Now, we've seen this happen all over our country, and not just to fundamental Baptists, but virtually any organization, any business that is allowing truth to go forth is being attacked and harassed in America, and yay, even the world. All kinds of companies like Parler. There was a social media platform called Parler, and Amazon Web Services just shut down all of their servers and basically just destroyed the entire business. And why? Because it was a threat to Twitter. It eventually was going to probably even overtake Twitter because it wasn't censoring speech. It was allowing people to actually say truthful statements, say things from the Bible, and not even just the Bible, just anything true about the evil that's going on in our country. And it was just completely harassed and shut down. And part of the reason is because it's exposing the truth of how the LGBT are bloody and deceitful.
Amen.
Other companies like Gab. There is a social media website by a guy named Andrew Torba, and he has had his application restricted from being on a Windows phone or an Apple phone. You can't download his app. The App Store and these different companies have restricted him. Why? Because of hate speech. And it's always this hate speech label. What it really should be called is just true speech, is what I've noticed. It seems like anytime something's labeled as hate speech, it's because it's true. They never say like it's a lie. They never say this is wrong, this is factually inaccurate. They just say it's hateful. Well, you know what? The truth isn't hateful. The truth is loving. The truth is always loving. The only people that hate truth are the liars and the deceitful and the bloody men. The devil, the father of lies, the devil, he hates the truth, and so he calls it hate speech. And so Gab has been relentlessly attacked and harassed. I believe that Andrew Torba has been shut down at several different banks. Several different banks just won't even do business with him. It's funny because I've had something similar happen to us where essentially every single online credit card processing company refuses to do any business with us because we're on some blacklist. And I was talking to some guy and he's like, there's this one company. And it's basically like for shady people, you know. Basically, if you're like in a shady business, you can go to this one company. So I look it up. It's called like Green Dot Money. And it's because it's basically if your money's green, they'll take it. You know, and they're expecting you to have like a shady business where perhaps you're unpopular because you're involved in adult entertainment or some kind of nefarious actions. And they're trying to wonder, like, you're a fundamental Baptist? You know, like surely people don't want to restrict you because of what the Bible says. And it's like, really, it's what happened, you know? And so I like try to hook up with them. I tell them what we believe, and they're like, yeah, we don't want to do business with you either. It's like, hey, you can be setting up an adult entertainment industry. You're fine. But, you know, a fundamental Baptist that believes the Bible, they're afraid. But I've noticed at least Andrew Torba was able to use them, okay? He's gotten shut down everywhere else, but he hasn't used these kind of services. And, of course, where there's a will, there's a way. But so many businesses have been shut down. There was obviously the famous story about a wedding cake vendor that had to bake the cake. And, of course, they get sued and harassed. And praise God, the Supreme Court finally said, hey, you can discriminate against the LGBT for your religious beliefs. And you know what that tells me? You need to get some religious beliefs. My wife makes really good cupcakes, and I was thinking, like, maybe I should open a bakery, you know? So, but you look at the stats, you just look at actual stats on these issues, and you realize the LGBT are causing all kinds of violence and damage and destroying businesses all over this country, and they're the real ones that should be limited in their business associations and people not wanting to have anything to do with them. Yet they're the ones that get their flags flown in all the businesses. They get their BLM flag, their Antifa flag, they get their Pride flag flown everywhere. And it's no different than the mafia, than the mob going around threatening businesses, telling them, if you don't pay us money, if you don't do our bidding for us, then we'll attack you. We'll destroy your business. We'll break your windows. We'll break your leg. Whatever kind of threats that they want to give. In fact, in 2020, during the BLM protest, it was estimated that there was over $2 billion in property damage in America. And of course, obviously, because they're deceitful, the LGBT like to hide under labels like BLM, where they're claiming that it's all about racism or black power or something like that. But the founders of the BLM movement, two of them are open sodomites. And you read their doctrinal, they have like a doctrinal statement on their website. I don't know if they've hidden it by now, but they're promoting transgenderism, queerness. They're promoting this LGBT filth because they don't even care about black people. It has nothing to do with black people. It has everything to do with just promoting wickedness, filth, and destroying businesses and being funded by some of the worst people. And if you look at the demographics of these groups, it's way over proportion LGBT than the normal population. They're infiltrating. They're promoting this. I saw a BBC article that says of the LGBT, when they're in a relationship, their relationships have much higher levels of domestic violence. So they're admitting, hey, when we're in these relationships, they're beating each other up and hurting each other way more regularly. There was a company, the Family Research Institute, that put out some information on this, and they said from domestic disputes, whenever there is a man hurting his wife or girlfriend, the prevalence is 0.24%. So of all relationships between a man and a woman, boyfriend, girlfriend, all those, only about 2.4% of the time is there abuse. Now, there's also apparently women beating up their husbands and boyfriends, okay? This was 0.04%, okay? So hopefully we can get that down to zero pretty soon, okay? If you're not there, you need to work out, men, okay? But again, in these like sodomite relationships, when it's two dudes, they beat each other up 4.6% of the time. So it's just like exponentially way higher than a normal relationship. And in the lesbian category, it's 5.8%. So they're really doing some MMA, you know, in their relationships. And that's, of course, the ones that are being reported. You know, who knows how much domestic abuse is going on and violence is actually going on. But about 5% of them are reporting, hey, they're beating each other up, hurting each other. They're just much more violent. That's just fact. Fact, the LGBT are more violent. They're not loving. Oh, love wins. Oh, it's I'm being discriminated based on who I love. No, who you're beating up. No, who you're abusing. Okay, that's the facts. That's the reality. Not only this, you look at other websites. I saw one where it was talking about the top six serial killers. Some of the biggest serial killers that have ever existed are all sodomites. And said the top six are all involved in like homo stuff. I looked at another list. It just had all these different serial killers listed. And it was like the first one was John Wayne Gacy. Who's heard of this guy? Yeah, hands all over the building. This guy killed 33 men involved in all kinds of sodomite activity. The second one, Juan Corona, 25 men slaughtered. This guy, his attorney, the defense attorney, said, well, whoever killed all these men's clearly a homosexual, and my client's not, so, you know, therefore. He tried to get him off by claiming that definitely a homo killed all these people, and his client's not one. But then he ended up getting killed in prison, and one of the guys, like, claims to be his, like, you know, lover in prison or something like that. So it's just like these guys are all sodomites. The number three was a guy named Fritz Harman, 24 men slaughtered. Number four, Patrick Kearney, 21 men slaughtered. Number five on the list, you've probably heard this one, Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah. Jeffrey Dahmer's not even the top of the list. And look, a lot of these people specifically went out, get in relationships with these other people that are of the same gender, and then they ended up just slaying them right afterwards. Another guy, Dennis Nilsen, 15 men. And then it just keeps going down the list. There was another guy, Dean Corll. He had 28 boys that he slaughtered. Carol Pazran, 21 men. And he claimed that he forced over 1,000 people in his lifetime. 1,000 people that this guy took. Why is it that all of the top serial killers, the most bloody people that we have in our society, are all LGBT? Why is it? It's because it's a spiritual issue. This isn't just like, oh, I was just born this way. No, no one's born that way. Right. These people are wicked, evil, they hate God, and of course they go around just killing innocent people. Many of the recent shootings, the Colorado Springs shooting, the shooter identified as non-binary. The Denver shooter, trans. The Aberdeen killer, trans. The Nashville, Tennessee shooter, trans. The Philadelphia shooter, trans. Why is it that they're all trans? Why is it that they're all the LGBT? And then you have, of course, the media pulling cover for them and really trying to incentivize these people or put it in their brain to commit acts of violence. You have people like Jane Fonda going on television saying that they're the pro-lifers or people that are pro-life should just be murdered. Because of the Supreme Court recent ruling, she doesn't want to allow that to exist in our culture, so just murder pro-lifers. How is that okay? You think about how much harassment Pastor Stephen Anderson has gotten and Faith Ward Baptist Church has gotten. And he's never openly called for murder a single time. Yet celebrities are going on national television just telling murder people and then no consequences, is it?
Preach it.
They don't have protesters. They don't have all of the evil. They don't have the government coming. They don't have the Secret Service coming and harassing them. It's a double standard. You have people like Cenk Uygur from TYT, which is a kind of a popular podcasting news show on YouTube. This guy is saying trans should get guns. Yep. He's advocating, hey, get guns. I'm not even pro-gun. I would vote to repeal guns from everybody. But go ahead and get some guns, trans. Trannies. Transvestites. Go to Judges chapter 19, if you would. Go to Judges chapter 19. If you look at the real statistics on these issues, you notice a very clear pattern. And that's why if you now search any of this, everything that pops up is an ABC, NBC article saying why what I just told you is not true. Oh, you know, there's all these people saying that, you know, these shooters are LGBT, but that just has nothing to do with what happened. That just, you know, I know it's this dude wearing makeup and a dress and a skirt, but and I know he called himself a tranny online, but that's unrelated because he dated a girl one time or something. You know, it's like he's actually a heterosexual, and you know, heterosexuals are killing people. You know, one time he visited a Baptist church, so actually he's a Baptist. You know, they just try to twist the narrative, destroy the narrative, but it doesn't matter. If you visit a Baptist church one time, you're not a Baptist. If you walk into a garage, you're not a car, okay? If you walk into the kitchen and make a sandwich, you're not a wife, okay? Now here's the thing, though. If you're ever with another dude, you're forever a faggot, okay?
Preach it.
So I don't care how you want to label these things or decide these things. A man with another man is always a fag forever.
Preach it.
It's not like, oh, well, he's not like that, or you just try it. No. Forever. Just like you kill one person, you're a murderer. Just like one time you lie, you're a liar. And one time you sleep with the wrong gender, you sleep with your own, and you know what? You're a faggot forever.
Amen.
You're a sodomite forever. And you know what? They want to try and disguise that and hide that. He's not a sodomite. He just likes children. No, he's even worse. It's a sodomite pedophile. But you know what? He's still both. Now, Judges chapter 19 makes it abundantly clear that these people are very violent. It's not just that they're perverted. They're violent. What does it say in Judges chapter 19? Look at verse 20. It says, and the old man said, peace be with thee. Howsoever, let all thy wants lie upon me, only lodging on the street. Now, in this story, just for sake of time, there's a Levite traveling back to town with his concubine. They need a place to stay for the evening. And only this old man offers them lodging. And it's a very nice exchange. He's wanting to take care of them. But he really doesn't want them to be in the street. He's like, don't sleep outside. He realizes how dangerous his town has become. Verse 21, so he brought him into his house and gave him provender unto the asses. And they washed their feet and did eat and drink. Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him. Notice, they're just having fun. The word merry just means fun. They're just having fun, minding their own business, in their own private house. And yet, sons of Belial, which would be another term for just children of the devil, come and they beset the house. That means they encircled the house. They encompassed the house all around. And then they're beating at the door, demanding to bring out this guy. Notice what the old man answers. Verse 23, and the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come in mine house, do not this folly. Now, you know, if you read Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, the Bible makes it clear if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman. The Bible tells us that they always go both ways.
Right. Yep.
Notice in this story, they're initially wanting a man. Now, if you've read the story, and I'm sure many of you have, if not all of you, they don't get this guy. They don't get this man. But it doesn't change the fact that they were still part of the LGBT group, because notice they wanted it. And only those who are sodomites want this. A normal person never wants this. So it's an instant indication. This person is LGBT. This person is a sodomite. This person is disgusting. And the old man realizes this is super wicked. Now, they end up offering some consolation prize, his daughter and the concubine. And eventually, the Levite ends up bringing out the concubine. And the Bible tells us in verse 24, behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them will I bring out now and humble you them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you. But unto this man do not so vile a thing. Now, this is an inconceivable story. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. But, you know, when you're under threat of death and in these horrible situations, sometimes you make bad decisions. Sometimes you're just so freaked out. But notice, what's even worse to him is men with men than his own daughter being taken advantage of. He thinks it's a category worse, because he's saying this is even more vile. This is even more disgusting what you would potentially do. And the Levite ends up offering his concubine, says in verse 25, but the men would not hearken to him, so the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them. And they knew her and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. These guys have no mercy. And notice they were implacable. They were not willing to be appeased. There was no way to talk them down. There's no way to reason with them. They were unreasonable. The only thing was to just temporarily satiate them, temporarily give them some consolation prize, and notice how they treated that. They destroyed it. The Bible even tells us, as we keep reading in verse 26, then came the woman in the dawning of the day, fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was, till it was light, and her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, up, and let us be going. But none answered. Then the man took her upon an ass, and the man rose up and gat him unto his place. So they not only abused this woman, they killed her. They hurt her so badly and destroyed her so much that she literally lost her life in this one evening. Now, of course, even in this horrible travesty, you know, there's still a picture of the gospel here. Because if you think about it, they wanted to go after this man, and ended up, this woman ends up taking his place and taking the death and destruction that he was supposed to have. It's a symbol and a picture of how Jesus Christ ended up taking our abuse and taking our death that we ended up deserving. So, of course, the gospel is hidden in every single story of the Bible. But let's not shy away from the truth here that the LGBT are bloody and deceitful, and they want to destroy every man, woman, and child.
Amen.
And they will never be satisfied until they've destroyed everyone. And they are willing to go to great lengths to destroy and to defile and to hurt and to harm every individual. If you flip to the next chapter, verse 11, we keep reading that these individuals not only will do this at night and not only will prey upon victims, they will go to battle and war for this. They won't stop. There's no stopping them by talking them down. There's no asking them politely to do something else. I hear this stupid phrase, and I hate this phrase, what people do in private is none of my business. That's stupid.
Right, right.
And that's not even how you feel, and that's not how the American law works. You know, teenagers going out and getting drunk is still illegal, whether or not they like it. And guess what, New Jersey? Incest is still illegal, even if both parties consent.
Right.
And you know what? It is our business. You can't have this stupid idea that what people do in private is none of my business. No, no, no. The whole point of law is to regulate morality. The reason why we even have laws in the first place. And the only reason we have good laws is if they come from the Bible. Not my decisions of what's right and wrong and what's good and bad. And isn't it so interesting that when we have consenting adults here preaching the Bible, that offends everybody else too, isn't it? It's like that's their business. What a bunch of hypocrites, huh? Now, in chapter 20, look at verse 11. So all the men of Israel were gathered together, or gathered against the city, knit together as one man. They hear about this horrible act against one woman, and the entire nation is willing to go to battle. But isn't it so sad that today in our culture, in our city, there'll be people dying every single day and no one cares? I mean, you think about it. How many children have to be sacrificed to this disgusting filth for you to actually decide it matters or you care? According to the Bible, it was one woman for them. Yeah. One woman was enough for them to say, you know what? We need to put a stop to this right now. But, you know, in America, we've become so deadened and hardened in our hearts that we're not even willing to fight when it's literally dozens, hundreds, thousands, yay, millions of people happening in our country.
Yep.
Sad. And we need people that actually are willing to fight the spiritual battle on this. But they go and they gather together. Verse 12, and the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, what wickedness is this that is done among you? Now, therefore, deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. Notice there are men, women, and children that are willing to fight for the LGBT. They're willing to go to battle and fight to the death for their rights. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sick?
Yeah.
That you hear about this horrible act and then they say, hey, I want to actually fight with them. But you know what? That happens. And that's happening in our country where there are people that are literally battling for and siding with these sons of Belial, with these children of the devil, and are willing to go to battle and willing to go to war. And notice here, this is a physical battle, a physical war. Many thousands of men died as a result of these incidents. And you are kidding yourself if you don't think that these people are willing to go to fight and battle and war and to shoot and to kill. They are. You say, oh, I'm against the death penalty. Well, you know what? You're just allowing these people to savagely go out and kill and murder other people.
Yep.
Death is inevitable in this situation. War, when you're in a war, someone's going to die.
Right.
By deciding I'm going to stay out of it, you know, you're basically just encouraging evil to just kill innocent people. You should be willing to not let your eye pity and for the wicked and for the bloody and the deceitful man to be put to death properly through the proper legal channels and for people to be pro-death penalty. Because when you're not pro-death penalty, you know, you are pro-murder, pro-rape, pro-homicide, pro-war. I mean, you're pro, like, the war wouldn't even happen if they just put them to death. Think about that. If they just put these people to death, there wouldn't even have been a war. But you know what? A lot of wars are because certain people that should have been put to death were never put to death properly. That's a big issue. And, you know, this, it's just horrible. But this, like, tranny went in Tennessee into a school and just started shooting and killing innocent little children. I mean, how could you feel? You send little Susie off to school with their lunchbox, and then a trainee comes in and shoots and kills it. For no reason. They don't even know each other. Just completely random. I mean, how much evil do you have to have in your heart to just kill children indiscriminately? To just murder them like it's a video game or something. I mean, that is how disgusting and filthy these people are. And yet, of course, the White House and President Biden, they don't get up and condemn such actions and talk about all evil. They say, oh, our LGBT children are still being marginalized. We stand with them. Why? Because they want more of these people to go into schools and shoot more children. That's what they really want. It's an evil, wicked agenda. I've been in city council meetings where these LGBT people get up and they threaten the city council members to their face with no consequences. They're just sitting here saying, you better give us our Pride Month or else. We know where you are. We're not going to be silent. We're not going to stand. I mean, they're just sitting here openly threatening city officials. And then, of course, they just fly their flag for them. Why? Because they know that they're serious and that they will commit acts of violence against them. Think about one of our friends, Pastor Roger Menes from Verity Baptist Church. When he went viral for some of his preaching, what happens? Hundreds and hundreds of these freaks came and are just screaming and yelling and attacking his church, trying to cause people to not be able to go to his church. threatening all kinds of violence against him and his family and his church members. In fact, in some cases, they literally did get in physical altercations at the church as a result of these protests. Why? Because they want to be violent. And if it wasn't for the cops there, it would have been a Judges 19 story. It would have been a Genesis 19 story. The cops are the only thing holding them back. Why do you think they wanted to fund the cops so bad? They wanted to defund the cops. And you think, this is what a lot of people think, like, sweet, because I am ready to go to war. But you know what's going to happen is you're still going to have liberal prosecutors. And when you defend yourself, you'll go to jail. And when they kill you, nothing will happen to them. So they'll have free reign to just terrorize the city. In many cases, the cops are just holding the evil back just a little bit. And I'm not saying every cop's a good guy, but what I'm saying is that having police officers in this context makes a lot of sense. If we got rid of them, in many cases, anarchy would be way worse than what you can imagine. Now, of course, I like to talk on my cell phone while I'm driving, so, you know, I get that not everything that cops do is legit. But, you know, they do have some legit functions. The Bible in the New Testament talks about the officers of the court. And, you know, someone has to enforce the law. Someone has to do something. And we need to, resist this culture that's trying to tear down every institution. Government and policing and law enforcement and the legality that comes from the scripture. Also, another one of our friends, Pastor Bruce Mejia from First Works Baptist Church, he had horrible protests. They were very close to his building because in California, there's no parking anywhere. And essentially, you know, you're just basically just right there up against the door. They're screaming. They're having drag contests and they're just playing music as loud as possible, trying to get into physical altercations with the church members. But then eventually, they just blew up his building. I don't know if you understand that. This is violence. Bombing buildings is violence, folks. When's the last time a fundamental Baptist went and bombed some homo bar? Or went and protested some homo bar? We don't even want to look at you. It's so gross and disgusting. But you don't notice they're constantly harassing and attacking God's people and all kinds of other institutions. They're the violent ones. They're the real terrorists. You say, what is a terrorist? It's one who uses the threat of force and violence to get their political ideology. They want to get their political ideology. They want to get their way through the threat of violence and the threat of death and the threat of murder. That's what they're doing. Go over to Genesis chapter 19. Go to Genesis chapter 19. Look, these people are dangerous. These people are violent. They are a cancer in our society. And just as foolish as it would be to have cancer and decide to do nothing about it, actually just eat more sugar to feed the cancer, it is to continue to promote this LGBT cancer in our society and to promote these terrorists in our society that are attacking our immune system, attacking our body, attacking our businesses, attacking churches, attacking our government, attacking every institution of the Bible and everything that God gave us, the family, attacking marriage, attacking even just biology. What is a woman? They don't even know. I mean, the lengths that these people will go, they attack math. Math is racist now. I mean, everything is just under assault completely. Why? Because what does a terrorist do? Terrorizes. That's all he does. It's so much easier to just destroy than it is to build. And your toddlers know this. When they're playing and they're building with their blocks, the evil brother comes and just kicks it all down, doesn't he? And just terrorizes. And that's so much easier. Why? Because it took 5-10 minutes to build the structure, and it takes 5 seconds to knock it down, doesn't it? And you know what? That's what these people are doing in America. They're just knocking everything down that they can. They're just an unruly toddler just running up and down the streets, just destroying and causing havoc. They don't really add anything to society. They're just a terrorist in plain sight. And it gets to a point where the city is just destroyed. Like Genesis chapter 19, a story about a town called Sodom, this city is just disgusting. It's worthless. It's gotten to a point where they've terrorized and sodomized every single person. And what I think is interesting about the story is the fact that they had access to every single person in the town, and they had sodomized every single person in the town, and it still wasn't enough.
Right.
Why? Because they will never stop. A terrorist will never stop terrorizing. As long as he has another victim, he'll just move on to the next one and to the next one. Look at Genesis chapter 19, verse number 4. The Bible says, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter." So similar story to Judges 19. Two angels come in. They're disguised as men. They look as men. And they come into the town. They're invited in by Lot. But as they're just having dinner, having fun, same story. Sons of Belial come out of nowhere, encompass the house, the whole city. And notice this, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, every single person has gathered themselves. And verse 5, "And they called unto Lot and said unto them, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." Same language, same action, same idea. "And Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door after them and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." Notice again, the same elements, the same events, and it's every single person, and they just want to destroy that which is innocent, victimize more people. Notice this, though, as we keep reading in this verse 7. "And I said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back! And they said again, This one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge? Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door." Notice, they didn't, in this story, I think it sometimes gets skipped over, they didn't want to only sodomize the two angels, they also wanted to do it to Lot. Do you notice that? And notice they pressed sore on the man. That means they're attacking and assaulting Lot. They're protesting him, and they're grabbing him, and they're trying to assault him right then and there. And they're breaking on the, they're banging on the door, they're running into the door. Now the angels have to grab Lot and drag him back into safety. Otherwise, he would have been destroyed here. Verse 10, "But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so they wearied themselves to find the door." The angels have to blind these men or they'll be successful. There's too many of them. They're so outnumbered. It's so extreme. And notice they're not willing to stop. Even after being physically blinded by a miracle, what does the Bible say? They wearied themselves to find the door. Isn't that incredible? I mean, can you imagine if you were trying to break into someone's house and then immediately all of you got struck blind and your initial thought is, I'm going to still go after them. Like, how depraved, how sick, how violent do you have to be that no matter what happens to you, you're still going to just keep fighting? Notice, no matter what happens to individuals, they're going to just fight until the death. It doesn't matter if they get hurt, blinded, they've been taken advantage of, defiled. In fact, I've heard a lot of them say online or through their own messaging that they have been hurt, and that's what motivates them to want to hurt others. Just the fact they just want to hurt other people just because they've been hurt. They're like, I'm a victim, so I'm going to victimize other people. Remember that domestic abuse statistic? They get in a relationship, abused, then they just want to go abuse someone else, hurt someone else. It's a vicious cycle. Go to verse 26. And here's the thing. Many people don't want to hear the uncomfortable truths of the Bible this morning, but you don't want to be Lot's wife either. Look at verse 26. "But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone, and the angel said, don't look back. Just have nothing to do with these people. They're gross. They have no pity. But his wife just couldn't contain herself. She just had to look back, and then she was immediately destroyed. Now, what's interesting about that is the Lord himself, God in flesh, while on his earthly ministry, he looked at the disciples and the people he's ministering to, and he had the famous quote, "Remember Lot's wife." Jesus literally said that. You know what he was quoting? Genesis 19. They'll say like, oh, Jesus never talked about Sodomites or Sodom and Gomorrah. No, he did. Remember Lot's wife?
Yep.
He brought it up. And you know what his attitude was? No pity. Why? Remember Lot's wife? Have no pity, no sympathy. Don't even look at these people. Have nothing to do with them. That was Jesus Christ's attitude while he was here, dying for our sins and giving his life a ransom and ministering unto other people. They'll say, oh, Jesus was ministering unto faggots. No, he wasn't. Remember Lot's wife?
Reach it.
Remember Lot's wife?
Reach it.
As I remember. These people are disgusting. Why would you think that the God of the universe is going to hang out with perverts? And not only do they commit violence, they're perverts.
Right. Yep.
I'm not even going to give you all the article titles, but I just have a few. 5-year-old girl sexually assaulted by transgender boy. Recent article. Gay couple charged with molesting adopted sons. That one could be repeated many times. There's so many that have that same title. Lesbian mothers kill their 6 adopted children in murder-suicide. A new movie came out. I think Jim Caviezel is one of the main actors in this film. It's called The Sound of Freedom. Has anybody here seen this movie? Okay, yeah, actually some people have already seen this film. It's a film about someone going in and trying to rescue children from trafficking that's going on in this world. And, you know, what's crazy is how the Hollywood and the media and everybody is coming out against this film and saying it's a conspiracy. It's like, what do you mean it's a conspiracy? And why do you care? Every single one of your movies are fiction, literally. Or predictive programming. But then they're just like, ah, this movie's so dangerous, it's a conspiracy. You know, it's like, well, what about all your alien movies? You know, how's that working out, right? But you know why? Is they're terrified of our culture waking up and realizing that these LGBT people are pedophiles. And let me tell you something. Every single one of them is a pedophile. All of them. Now, there's a difference between a pedophile and a child molester. One has already been caught in the action. That's the only difference. They have the same desire. And look, every single one of these people, whether or not they've committed an act of molestation yet, they would have given the opportunity. If they get the opportunity, if they're alone with children, if they have enough time, they will hurt children. Just because they haven't done it yet doesn't mean they won't do it again or won't do it in the future. And we need to realize that these people are pedophiles. There's a reason why the trafficking industry exists, because pedophiles. And most of it, unfortunately, the most disgusting part about it is it's pretty much boys are like the biggest victim in this, because we all know it's the fags that are the main purveyors of such filth in this industry. And you know what? I'm glad that some truth is getting out there about this industry. I've heard it's a horrible like feeling when you watch the film, just because you realize how disgusting it is. But you know, sometimes we need to see the nitty and gritty. Of course, we don't want to necessarily get into the details too far, but we need to know about what's going on. God gave us, you know, some pretty nitty-gritty stories. He didn't get into the details, but we knew that people were being abused. We knew people that are dying. We knew horrible actions are happening. And sometimes we need to realize that that's happening. They'll say, well, the LGBT, they're not perverts. They're born that way. False. There's been so many twin studies that have already been done, already come out, and proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, there is no gay gene, folks.
Amen.
I don't care what they claim or what they say, there's not. Go to Romans chapter 1. Go to Romans chapter 1. I looked at there's an article by a study that was done from Australia and the United States, Dr. Neil Whitehead, and he says this, quote, "At best, genetics is a minor factor." He said, at best. He also said, quote, "Identical twin studies prove homosexuality is not genetic." Fact. And you know what? This guy's not a fundamental Baptist, okay? This guy's not, I don't even know that he's necessarily Christian. I don't even think he is, probably. But he's just saying, fact, it's not true. Because if it was true, when they have these identical twin studies, it would have to be 100%. That's why his quote is also saying, because they have identical DNA, it ought to be 100%. Meaning, if you both have the same hair genes, you should both have the same hair color. If you have the same genes, your skin color is going to be the same. And if you've ever seen identical twins, there's something really interesting about them. They look the same. That's the whole point of them being identical. Of course, you can get twins in multiple ways. Fraternal twins, identical. The fraternal is typically from two completely different eggs, is how that's described. Whereas identical is one egg and the cells ended up splitting. So they had the exact same cells. So if there was a particular gene or they were born that way, it would be 100%, but it never is. According to their statistics, it's about 11 to 14%. If an identical twin is a sodomite or an LGBT, then about 11 or 14% of the time, the sibling is, which proves one thing, it's environmental. Because it's not the same rate, it's not 3 or 4%, meaning that it was related. But since it's not 100, it has nothing to do with genes, has everything to do with their parents and their environment and the church that they went to, and if they were abused by some uncle or whatever was going on. That's the contributing factors. That's what's really happening and causing a higher prevalence in that particular situation. But it is not something anyone is born with. The Bible proves, the Bible tells us that this is not the case. In Romans chapter 1, it tells us about the wrath of God being revealed, and it tells us that these people hate God, that they change the truth of God into a lie, and they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. But look at verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change. Maybe you should just highlight, circle, underline this word. Change. Change. The natural use into that which is against nature. Notice she wasn't born this way, she changed. Notice something changed. It didn't start out changed. Notice the next verse, verse 27. And likewise, meaning in the same way that women changed, men are changing. It says also the men leaving the natural use. Notice it doesn't say here that they were born that way, it says that they left the natural way. The women changed and the men left. But let me tell you something, they weren't born that way. And of course, the Bible makes it clear this is a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual battle that we're fighting. I looked up some more statistics on this, and it gets really bad on the pervert statistics. But just to give you a little idea, the Family Research Council has done some studies, and they said when they were analyzing all of the child molestation cases and a particular sample, that 33% of them were done by homos. Look, when you're only 2 or 3% of the population, but you're committing 33% of the crimes, it's connected. It's linked.
Amen.
In fact, they said it's 16 times more likely that they're going to commit this act. In the American Family Association, AFA, they had 229 convicted child molesters that they interviewed. And in that, 86% of them describe themselves as homo or bi. So they have them convicted and they're just interviewing them. Their own self-identification. They're admitting 86% of the time that they're sodomites. I mean, it's just facts. There was a study that went out. It was called like the self-reported crimes of non-incarcerated paraphiliacs. That was a mouthful. But it's basically, they gave immunity to all these child molesters and said, hey, if you just tell us all the crimes you committed, we won't put you in jail, but we just want to know. We're just researching it. So they're just telling them all the crimes they've committed with kind of immunity in this particular study. It was done several decades ago by Gene and Abel. And they're talking about all the things that they've done, and they analyzed how many children have you molested and how many acts did you do with them and everything like this. Whenever a child molester was only molesting females, the number of times that they would molest them was an average of 23 times. But when it was a male, And meaning it was just men with men, it was an average of 281 times. When they categorize this in all these weird, disgusting categories. They're all just evil. But one's called the homo category. When they do a homo act, they averaged 154 times that they would do acts. When they identified as a transvestite, the number of acts per, you know, their victims, 670. When you look at the number, the average number of victims, these child molesters, when they went after only females, they said, well, they would have an average of 19 victims. When it was a sodomite, when it was men with men, 150 victims on average. One child molester is averaging 150 victims each. You have table three. It says how many acts, and I don't understand how they categorize everything, but in table three, they said this is the number of acts they did per victim. When it was in the homo category, it was 1,850 acts per victim. These are statistics. These aren't fundamental Baptists, folks, that are they're doing this research, asking these people what they're doing. This is the stuff that they're admitting to, let alone the stuff that they did. How in the world does nobody care? I mean, it's so disgusting. It's so perverted. And let me tell you something. These people are under the influence of the devil. And it is a spiritual battle. Go to Jude chapter 1. Go to Jude chapter number 1. But make no mistake, these people are terrorists. They want to commit violence and they want to commit perversion. And they're going full scale in both. Every story, it's both. They want to do a perverted act and then they're willing to commit violence in order to get that perverted act to go forward. Consistently. And they want to hurt innocent people. None of these stories were consensual. They were going after people that don't want anything to do with them. And let me tell you something. People that keep saying, oh, what people are doing in private is none of my business. It will be soon. Genesis 19 is around the corner for you. Judges 19 is around the corner for you. But let me tell you something. They don't want to be in private. They want to do it in public. I feel like there's a whole month dedicated to something that's not in private. With flags everywhere. It doesn't seem very private. What they're doing in our country. If you still think it's private, you're living under a rock. Because it's everywhere. But Jude chapter 1 tells us that we're in a battle. We're in a fight. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So Jude tells us that we're supposed to contend for the faith. And some people say, why preach about this, Pastor Shelley? Well, the Bible's telling me to contend for the faith. The Bible's telling me to fight the spiritual battle.
Amen.
And of course, you know, the spiritual battle, I'm not calling to violence or arms or saying that we should go out and just start killing people indiscriminately. I think we should just preach the truth. And if we preach the truth, that's going to do damage to the enemy. It's going to cause us to get victories in the spiritual battle, in the spiritual realm. And of course, who are we fighting against? Well, verse 4 says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the people that we're fighting against primarily are false prophets and false teachers. But let me tell you something. There's a direct connection to false teachers and LGBT. They're usually the same people in a lot of cases. That's why you see in the Catholic Church it being filled with pedophiles, filled with child molesters. There's whole websites dedicated to all the different Catholic priests caught being a pedophile in the entire United States and all over the world because it's so prevalent. And that's why they're likened to them in this chapter, verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So according to the Bible, those that were in Sodom and Gomorrah died and went to hell. You say, which ones? All of them. It was an example. And it's an example of how everybody that's just like them in the future also is going to die and go to hell. Not because of their sin, but because they hate God and they never want to believe on Jesus. And it's a spiritual issue. They hate the gospel. They hate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they assault the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a result, God punishes them with homosexuality. homosexuality is a punishment for someone that is reprobate and never wants to believe in Jesus. That was the changing. That was the leaving. And that's the only reason that they do those things. You and I could never do them. We could never want to do them. They're too disgusting. They're too evil. They're too harmful. The only way someone can do it is because God is punishing them. Amen. And it's the wrath of God being revealed from heaven. It's like, wow, don't mess with God. He might turn you into Elton John. You know, he might turn you into Richard Simmons. He might turn you into Barack Obama. Worse, he might turn you into Michelle Obama. Punishment, okay? We're talking about punishment. But, you know, our church has been assaulted and attacked, and I just want to give you just some highlights of some things that happened to us. But, you know, when I took over the church, we were in Sanson Park, and just by preaching the Bible and being friends with other preachers that preach the Word of God, we ended up having a lot of protesters. And we had, like, dozens and dozens of protesters coming, harassing us, attacking us, and it causes all kinds of articles to go out, and then they get all kinds of businesses to shut down associations with us. We get banned from all kinds of things. PayPal, Bank of America, Tidely, online processing, all kinds of online processors, banks, all kinds of other businesses. They make it where all the local realtors and commercial businesses don't want to do any business with us. They just smear our name as mud everywhere. They try to get anybody and everyone to shut you down, attack you. I called one online processor, and I'm trying to ask them just questions like, can I speak to your legal department? And they're just like, we have no information. The judgment is final. I have nothing else to say. And they're just like, I know, but can I ask a different question? And it's just like, the judgment is final. We have nothing else to say. It just is like, parrot. They won't even tell you anything. And I'm thinking like, some Satanist called you, and you give them your ear, and you let them tell you about our church, but I can't even talk to your legal department for 5 seconds? This shut down all kinds of things. Now, we ended up moving, not because of the protests or any of that. We were actually growing. Even though we had all these protests and our business is being shut down, our banks are shut down, our church was growing, expanding, and I'm like, I need a new building. So we ended up getting a new building, and we put a lot of money into it, put a lot of time and effort into this thing. I mean, spending over $100,000 to improve this space because we think we're going to be there for 5 years or even longer. And, of course, June rolls around, and we end up having protests again, you know, for me preaching. I was preaching through Genesis, and I just happened to, you know, fall on Genesis 19 in June. Might have been planned. We don't know. Okay. And it just caused, like, a big controversy, all kinds of protests. And, of course, they're being violent. They're getting in the parking lot, threatening people, and they break our windows. And so the landlord is, like, terrified. Everyone's scared, saying they're going to shoot our building and blow it up, the FBI. And we had so many voicemails. They're coming in just, like, every minute. Just, like, every minute, new voicemail. Just every minute, just new voicemail, new voicemail, new voicemail. And it's just the worst things you could ever imagine. How they're going to hurt every single person in my family, all the children, every person in our church. I mean, the worst things, you can't even describe it. It's just horrible. And that pressure ended up causing the landlord to sue us and to get us to be potentially evicted through a legal process. We go through all these legal processes and spending just an ungodly amount of money on lawyers. I understand what Jesus meant when he was talking about the lawyers. Woe unto you lawyers, okay? Personal experience now. But spending all this money, and of course, we ended up losing a trial of our peers, and then we like appealed, and then the next judge just ruled against us. And what's so funny is in this court hearing, when the judge rules against us, the only thing that they advocated against us was two, like, 30-second clips of my preaching. That was it. It was like, he violated this. Here's 30 seconds of his preaching. Here's another 30 seconds of preaching. It's just like, there was no, like, did he pay his bills? Yep, always on time. He's taking care of the property? Yep. Is he doing everything the lease agreement says? Yeah. But, you know, he preached, you know. He preached these horrible things. So a Texas church can get evicted based on what? The Bible. Even though the lease agreement says, hey, I can have church service, I can preach the Bible. My doctrinal statement's never been hidden from anybody. But, of course, just from the pressure of these terrorists, they're able to allow people to be unfairly treated, taken advantage of. Hey, all that money you put in leasehold improvements, gone. Not only that, we improved the building so much because it was just a blank shell. We added bathrooms. We built out the kitchen. We redid the flooring. The landlord then sued me for damaging the property.
Wow. It was nice.
Wow. Like, what in the world? Damaging your property by building you a kitchen? And we even asked about it. He's like, yeah, it should have been returned back to the state it was in. Oh, so you want me to go and just get a sledgehammer and tear everything up? I mean, I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, it's just the nonsense that's going on in this world. And they get all mad because there was a parade. This is the reason why all this got a lot of publicity. But there was a parade where these sodomites were dancing up and down the street in Florida or something. And one of the sodomites accidentally, like, hits the gas and, like, runs over another one and kills him. So it's like a complete accident where some sodomite kills another sodomite. And I was just like, well, I think that's great. And I was like, hopefully next time we could hope for more. And then they're saying, like, oh, you're advocating violence. It was an accident. How do you advocate for accidents? But you know what? Yeah, I was. Okay, I'm advocating for accidents, but not violence. Yes, if they can accidentally kill each other, I'm thinking great. As long as there's no other damage to anybody else. But you know what? How is that not fair when all of America is rejoicing when Osama bin Laden's killed? Yep. Osama bin Laden's killed, who didn't even destroy the Twin Towers. It was George W. Bush and our government. But many people do believe it was him. And as a result of that and him dying, they're rejoicing and singing, and it's praised on the media. They're actually rejoicing at someone's death that was violently killed and murdered. But of course, albeit theoretically, it's justly. And yet, me praying for the accident of a child molester. I mean, I saw in the Phoenix area, there was a cop killer that got away from the police, and he was like going to a gas station, and two random citizens run into him. He tries to mug them or something. The citizen pulls out a gun, because it's constitutional carry, amen, and he shoots and kills the cop killer. And then they interview, and all the cops are so relieved and so glad, and everybody's so happy that the cop killer was brought to justice. And it's like, why is it any different when these child molesting freaks are brought to justice by God's intervention? You know what? I rejoice and shout for joy. That's what I do. These people are a bunch of hypocrites. We get evicted. We have to go to hotels. They follow us around, write more articles, try to get us shut down. Then we moved to Watauga. We had more protests. And then Dylan preached. I leave in June. And Dylan preaches, and boy, did everything blow up. Wow. We get the police department writes social media posts about his sermon, and we're getting all these protests. I mean, the phone calls start again. I mean, every minute, just new voicemail. And you kind of wonder, like, where are all these voicemails coming from? Where are all these protesters coming from? But then I realized we're going, like, super viral online. And, like, in a way that is inconceivable to me. But there's that stupid app called TikTok. It's like some Chinese app. And apparently their algorithms are against new IFB preaching, okay? But I look it up, and Dylan Oz, you can just type into TikTok. You can say discover/ and then someone's name. It'll tell you all the videos associated with that person's name. Dylan Oz, my employee, if you just type it in, has 859 million views associated with his name. 859 million. Now, I was just like, I have no relevance to what that means. So I was like, I'll just put in other famous people. So I put in David Beckham. It was 621 million. So Dylan is more famous than David Beckham. Then I was thinking, like, what about other conservatives that get attacked? Like Steven Crowder. And this guy's pretty popular. He has a YouTube channel with like 5 million subscribers. A lot of his live streams have a million viewers and within 24 hours. And this guy's been attacked by a lot of people. He had 278 million. Dylan's like four times more popular. Tucker Carlson, Many people know who this is. Fox News, he fired him recently, but he was a big contributor, the most popular newscaster in America, the most watched and viewed. His Twitter videos get hundreds of millions of views. Him on TikTok, 189 million. I mean, Dylan's just crushing these people. So then I was like, what about me? So I put my name in this app, 2.2 billion views. Whoa. It's like, I understand why I'm getting so many phone calls. I mean, you look up people, I put in Tom Brady, 1 billion. Bill Gates, 1.1 billion. Brad Pitt, 900 million. It's like, what in the world? Why are two guys that work at a small, medium-sized, Independent Baptist Church in Texas so much more popular than these mega celebrities? And it's because the terrorists are trying to terrorize us. It's because the terrorized, it's a spiritual battle that's happening. And you know what? The truth is elevated on the internet. That's why they have to constantly censor it. I guarantee if YouTube never censored a single video in its life, Pastor Anderson would be in the top YouTubers, period. Because the truth always rises to the top.
Amen.
And everybody loves listening to him preach, whether they like it or love it. They just want to listen to it. And, you know, it going viral like this, it sucks because the conservatives won't talk to us. They won't promote us. They won't talk and tell anybody about how popular we are. So just all the haters know who we are. Not only this, during all these protests, one of the cops is actually one of these LGBT people too. And they have this online group dedicated to harassing our church. It's called No Hate in Texas. They're the most hateful group ever organized. Well, this cop that's a part of our local police department is in their protest group against our church. And then they show up and they're protesting our church and they're blocking our parking lot so people cannot drive in and out. And this older lady who came to our church to visit from out of town is just wanting to leave. And so our ushers are going over there trying to like get them out of the way just so she can leave because the cops refuse to do their job when they're a faggot in the protest group against us. I'm shocked. And so they're standing there blocking and this one girl gets up there and she's just like running into our men on purpose. Well, she runs into one of our usher staff and he just kind of like just kind of pushes her off of her. Well, then instantly the cops then cite him for assault.
Wow.
Yeah, this faggot cop gives a citation to one of our church members for assaulting the protest. It was a setup.
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous, the spiritual battle they have to go through. And think about this. In 2003, it was illegal to be a faggot in Texas. It was a crime to be a fag in Texas in 2003. Now they're on the police force. What insanity. In Arlington, they have a cop that's called the LGBT liaison. They have their own cop just dedicated to making sure that they feel comfortable and safe. What in the world? I mean, what is our world coming to when you have sodomites in law enforcement? When you have the bloody and deceitful man as the cop? Then we had the local churches right around us. They started preaching about us. They were going out there giving food and water to these protesters to protest against us. And this one pastor, he preached a whole sermon against me. And he's like, now, the whole message that they're preaching is coming from a passage in Scripture in Leviticus 20:13. And Leviticus 20:13 says that homosexuals should be put to death. And, you know, me and all my seminary professors and friends and colleagues, we always would sit around in seminary and just wonder, what does that mean? You know what? You know what it meant? It meant that they should be put to death, like you just said. You know, you already told us what it meant. You just refused to believe it. And is it? It's not shocking, because he probably is one. In 1673, in Connecticut, it was in the law. Leviticus 20:13 was literally the law for hundreds of years in our country, and in many other places in the world, it was the law. Not only even today, Uganda still has laws against homosexuality.
Amen.
Saying, and specifically saying, if you assault a child, you should be put to death.
Amen.
And then you have politicians in Texas, like Ted Cruz, getting up and saying that that's an abomination. saying that putting a child molester to death is an abomination. He's an abomination.
Amen.
How wicked. But not only that, then they started terrorizing Dylan at his house, following him to his house, honking, throwing nails and all kinds of debris and glass in front of his driveway to try and destroy his cars, following in the restaurants and shocking all around. I mean, just my administrative assistant is being more harassed and attacked than virtually every other fundamental Baptist preacher in our area for one sermon. Then there was all these videos by TYT. Virtually like every host did videos against me and Dylan. But Cenk Uygur, one of their main, like the main guys, he did a whole video against Dylan. And then he just starts screaming, "The Bible's wrong! The Bible's wrong! Homosexuality is not a sin! The Bible's wrong! Ah!" He's just like on an unhinged rant, screaming about how bad the Bible is. The same guy that also advocated that bestiality should be legalized in America.
Yep.
You know how I know you're a bestophile? You're advocating for it to be legal.
Yep.
What a freak. These are the type of people that the left is promoting. This is what goes viral on YouTube, people promoting bestiality. Then we have to, we're in this building, our new landlord, now he knew what we believed. I told him about the protesters. I told him everything. He's seen the articles. He was still fine leasing us. But, you know, because of all this extra heat, he just decided no, and he sued us too to be evicted. And we ended up being able to settle to where we could just stay a little bit longer. We didn't have to go through all the court proceedings and whatever. But again, him and even the leasing agent, they told us over and over again, it's not you. We like you. It's them. And it's so funny, they always think it's a moral victory. Like, we're so disgusting and horrible that you're getting evicted. It's like, why is that a win for you? it's not like they're like, oh, we got to expose everybody to what they believe. They already knew. We got to expose them, there's going to be protests. It was already on the lease. They already knew what they don't have a problem with me. They like me. They hate you. Because you're terrorists. No one likes terrorists. And that was my problem. I talked to all kinds of people. They're like, hey, I like you. I want to do business with you. But I hate being terrorized. And this, our society is not waking up and realizing, you know, it's not just me that they want to terrorize. They want to terrorize everyone.
Yep.
This is a true spiritual battle. And we're getting thrown out. And we had nowhere to go. So we're just going to hotels. They got us shut down at hotel after hotel. I don't know how they were finding us. Just going everywhere. So finally, we ended up getting a new property in Cedar Hill. But you know, they're still protesting us there. And you know when they'll stop protesting us? Never. Never. Why? Because it is a spiritual battle, and we give them purpose in their life. They tell me. They literally say, thank you so much. We now have purpose, and we now are unified, and we now are like, have a reason to live, basically, and not kill ourselves. But, you know, while they couldn't find us, every once in a while they'd go to, like, another church. It's called Mercy Culture. And they were like, we think this church might even be worse. And so I, like, looked up the post, and the preacher says, we love everyone, but homosexuality is a sin. Whoa, they're so bad. I was thinking, like, you don't even realize if we didn't exist, they would just attack you guys. Because they did, literally. And then as soon as they found us, they're harassing us and protesting us. But it's like, they just want to knock down the tallest standing up person. Whoever's standing up, they're going to knock them down. And then just go to the next person. Go with it to Acts chapter 17. Go to Acts chapter 17. I'm going to try and make this last point very quick. Number one, these people are terrorists. Number two, it's a spiritual battle. And number three, if you really want to know who's behind this, it's the Jews. It's a Jewish connection. Why? Because it's a spiritual battle. And they're trying to use this mafia and these terrorists to attack us. Acts chapter 17, look what it says in verse 5. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren of the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And all these, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they trouble the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. This happens to me everywhere I go. You go into Hearst, they trouble the city council and the police and whatever. Then you go to Otago and they trouble the city council and the police there. We didn't even go to the city. They just heard that we went to Midlothian. Never been there. They just went to all the city council meetings and just terrorized everybody there. Just in the fact that we might be there. Then they went to Cedar Hill. Now they're harassing. They just go everywhere and they're being funded by Jews, my folks, my friend. Folks, they're being funded by these people. The ADL, the SPLC, they have all kinds of articles about the new IFB, Faithward Baptist Church, Steadfast Baptist Church, sermons I preached, Brother Dylan's preached, Pastor Anderson's preached, Pastor Menez has preached, all of our friends just constantly going after us. There was a video I saw of a Jew getting up and saying, us Jews, we love supporting the LGBT movement. They're open about it. They're promoting this filth. They're promoting transgenderism. Hollywood, media, and the banks are all promoting this. If you look at Pride Month, you know who has the most flags? Usually the banks do. And there's this one protester named Gordon Jones who's consistently protested us. We started doing research on this guy. This guy protests virtually every day of the week somewhere. This guy is going everywhere. I noticed him because he was protesting at my house with big signs walking up and down the street. And it's like, I asked the cops, and they're like, well, he's not loitering because he's still kind of like walking around. Yeah, in front of my house. That's it. And not only that, I started looking up. Well, he goes to Ted Cruz's house and protests him. I'm like, this guy is a loser. Why are you protesting him? He's going to all kinds of Texas Republican. And Ted Cruz doesn't live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where I live. He lives down in like Houston or something like that. This guy's going to Austin protesting. He's like protesting Austin on Tuesday, my church on Wednesday, going to Tennessee the next day, going to Colorado the next day. He's on Reddit, standing at some other place, always with brand new big signs. It's like no one is just doing that. No one is just going and traveling the entire country and just at every pro-abortion rally, every trans legislation rally, every single, and then just our church. It's like every legislative battle and then just, he's just consistent, just Steadfast Baptist Church. This guy's obviously getting paid, folks. Some of the people in this group have admitted, yeah, we're paid protesters. We just drive around the country and just show up at whatever protest they tell us to go to. It's no different than what Acts said, where they get certain lewd fellows of the baser sort and they rile them all up and they get them to go and terrorize and do their bidding for them. You're not going to have a bunch of people coming up and protesting and going like, No, they go to their little cult temple somewhere and do that and get lewd fellows to come and do their bidding for them. They hire little minions. And these people are disgusting. Jews are behind the pedophilia in this country. And New York City, they have been trying to reduce the amount of STDs given to babies because of Jews. Jews are giving STDs to babies, folks. And I watched this disgusting video where Representative Anthony Weiner, where he was trying to advocate why they should vote for him, and they're all talking about whether or not they should have parental consent if an Orthodox Jew can drink the blood of a baby boy after performing circumcision. And the Jews were so mad that they just had to get a parental form signed. They're saying, this is stepping on a religious freedom. You shouldn't have the freedom to exist. Right. Amen. Let alone, and literally, there's articles out there. Baby dies of herpes and ritual circumcision by Orthodox Jews. ABC News. Isn't it interesting? Also, Anthony Weiner, who was a U.S. House representative, is now a registered sex offender. Yeah. Not only that, he was married to a woman named Huma Abedin, who happened to be the personal assistant of Hillary Clinton. And there's a lot of rumors about them. Is that anything interesting? But I mean, what kind of disgusting filth is going on in our world? And all of our friends, Shield of Faith, Pastor Joe Jones, same group, same protesters attacking him, trying to cause him to lose business. And frankly speaking, between Pastor Jones and Pastor Thompson from Sure Foundation Baptist Church, I order them pizza like 3 or 4 times a week. But it's not me. Someone's ordering pizza for them every single like service in my name. I'm the nicest friend there is. I mean, if you become my friend, I might order you pizza like every week, okay? I mean, just every week, just ordering pizza for these people, just every single week. Now, it usually gets canceled. What's so sad is pretty much Pastor Thompson and them, they always get it for free, too. They're always just giving it to them free. So they're really harassing only the pizza places. And the pizza places are too stupid to just, like, stop giving us free pizza. These people think that we're getting persecuted by free pizza. But, you know, the Kentucky State Capitol, Tennessee, they're constantly going in there, harassing these people. Go, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians 2, and I only have one more verse after that. But, you know, Revelation tells us that this group is the synagogue of Satan. The Jews are the synagogue of Satan. Now, we're talking about a religious Jew, not an ethnic Jew, because some of the greatest people to ever live were ethnic Jews. You have the disciples. You have the Apostle Paul. I mean, you have lots of great people that were ethnic Jews that did great works for God. But you know what? The religion of Judaism is of the devil. Amen. And they're also the worst people. Caiaphas and Judas, the worst people to ever live. And the Jews that followed and harassed Paul around his entire life, those people were the worst people to ever live. Paul, one of the greatest people to ever live. Both Jew. But you know what? When we talk about Jews in the Bible, we're talking about a religious group, and this religious group wants to drink blood. This religious group wants to hurt children, and they have all kinds of sick practices. I don't want to go into it. It's so disgusting. But the Bible tells us that these people are contrary to everyone. Look what it says in verse 14. For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Doesn't that just describe Faithward Baptist Church being persecuted and censored? I mean, just they want to forbid you to speak to the Gentiles, getting people saved, preaching the gospel, persecuting you. They please not God. They're contrary to everyone. No one likes these people. Amen. That's why they have to pass all these laws about being anti-Semitic, is because it's so natural. It's so easy to hate the guy that's charging you interest and molesting children and wearing these pigtails or whatever they've got. I mean, a guy in pigtails is not someone I want to hang out with. They're the ones that started the transgender movement, folks. Dudes in pigtails. It's gross. Go to Ezekiel 22, this last place I'll return. You say, well, why preach a sermon? There's nothing you can do about it. No. There is something we can do about it. You know what we can do? Not negotiate with terrorists. Amen. Stop negotiating with terrorists. And, you know, we've seen some of our culture start to do this, and I'm thankful for it. You know, the NHL had one of their players just simply say, like, I'm not wearing that disgusting, you know, pride symbol. Shove it. And it ended up, he didn't apologize, and he's still playing. And you know what? They've eliminated a lot of the pride stuff in the NHL now. There was an MLB player, same thing. And in fact, he was part of the Texas Rangers, and the Texas Rangers are one of the only teams, I think they're the only team, in the MLB that didn't have pride nights for the month of June this year. And you know what? Praise God that there's some resistance finally, and some people are waking up and saying, stop negotiating with these terrorists. Because when people apologize, they get fired and lose anyways. You might as well have gone out with a bang. I don't want to go out with my tail tucked between my two legs. You might as well actually say what you actually mean when you're going to lose your job anyways. Everyone's always lost their job. There was some famous MLB broadcaster that accidentally criticized the city for being a bunch of fags. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, like. But then he got fired anyways. He should have been like, well, it is a bunch of faggots, you know? Because they are. Number one, don't negotiate with these terrorists. Number two, we can change the culture. Notice what's happened. Bud Light and Target have been boycotted pretty relentlessly. And it's changed a lot of the culture. And Target has pissed a lot of people off that aren't even fundamental Baptists. I saw a famous podcaster, PDB. It's like Patrick David Bet. This guy is horrified at some of the things that Target was selling. They're selling these little pins that say like Satan loves pronouns or Satan respects pronouns. And he's like, no way they're selling that garbage. And it's like, yes, they literally are. And it's like, people need to start waking up. Yeah. Of course Satan loves pronouns, because every time they find devils in the Bible, it's they and them. It's legion. We. You know, people think that they're in a minority. Look, everyone feels this way. Everyone's afraid to speak up. But you know what we need to change the culture? That it's okay to say something. Because everybody already feels that way. They just are afraid to say it. But you know, I looked at a video from Serbia. They're not afraid to say it. I watched this video. There's like hundreds and hundreds of Serbians all in this like rally, and they're just screaming, kill, kill, kill faggots. And I was just like, wow. You know what? But I guarantee that's going on in every heart of every straight guy in this city. Every straight guy in this city is just thinking in his heart. He just wishes he could say it. And we need to change the culture where people can actually say what the Bible says. It used to be such a byword. And you know, when the whole culture changes and everybody's screaming the same narrative, it's going to affect the politics. Just like, think about it. The Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Abortion's gone down. Supreme Court recently said, hey, you can't force them to make your cake and your website and whatever. I mean, you want to affect the politics? Why did Herod and a lot of the leaders, Pilate, do some of the things they did? They were afraid of the people. We need to get these people afraid of the people again. Amen. They need to be afraid because they're a bunch of pedophiles and they've been bought and sold and they're a bunch of cowards. But you know, the reason why they're so emboldened is because nobody will say anything. People need to start speaking up again. And let me tell you something. Number four, you already have such a giant shield, you have almost nothing to worry about. Pastor Anderson has already gone through so much evil and is such a giant shield for everybody else. Most Baptists and most Christians are never, ever, ever going to experience what he went through. I mean, he's already been banned from like dozens of countries. There's probably never going to be another Baptist preacher banned from that many countries. They're probably just never going to do that. He was the first, you know, and of course, a lot of things that happens to our church and our friends' churches, they're probably never going to happen to any of these other churches. And in a battle, you have two arms. You have a shield and you have a sword. And why don't you just let Pastor Anderson continue to be your shield and you pick up the sword and start doing some damage? Amen. You know, if other fundamental Baptist preachers would get up, if they all just started saying the same thing, they wouldn't have all these protesters. There's not enough to go around. Sorry, I can't share them with you. But you know what? While I'm distracting them with the shield, why don't you go and get them with the sword? Amen. The word of God. You know, there's been so many other just people that aren't even Baptists. They're not even like cool. They're losers. People like Matt Walsh making documentaries and getting everybody mad. And his documentary sucks. I don't even like it. What is a woman? We already know. It's a stupid. You know, it's like, really? This is the kind of arguments we're going to start making? 2 + 2 = 4, my new documentary. No, why don't you actually see what the Bible says? Leviticus 20:13. One of the people in the Daily Wire working for Ben Shapiro the Jew accidentally said something kind of base. It was Michael Knowles. He said, we need to eliminate transgenderism from our society and culture. And everybody's like, are you saying they should be put to death? Oh, no, I'm not saying that. He's like, I'm saying that. How do you eliminate transgenderism? You have to eliminate the transgender. You have to eliminate the transvestite. That's the only way. You can't, you know, you can get a mortar and pestle, but you can't get the foolishness out of the fool. And you know, you can't get the faggotry out of the faggot. You have to put the faggot down. And I'm telling you, we need more information on this, more truth, more resistance, more people to speak up. And you know, the louder we are, it helps embolden other people to talk about it too. And I've noticed more people are getting a little bit sick and tired of this junk. But you know, when you think about the victims here, and I'm finishing on this point, but when you think about the victims here, can't someone care? I mean, that woman that died in Judges 19, can't someone care for her? Think about all the children. that are just being destroyed and all over the world every day. Does that not bother you at all? Do you not care at all about the women and the children? And I mean, even just God himself. I mean, how much did it vex David's heart when he walked by and he just sees this disgusting giant defying the armies of the living God, defying God, mocking God? I mean, how does it not just vex your soul to see this disgusting pride flag everywhere? It makes me want to just rip it down and burn it. Every single last one of them. Just like the Goliath. It makes me want to be like Gideon, where he just overthrows the false god in the night and just destroys their disgusting idols. I mean, someone needs to fight for God. Someone needs to fight for these children. And look what the Bible says in Ezekiel 22, verse 30. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. What a sad day when God can't even find one person to stand in the gap. One person to stand in the hedge. Look, these terrorists will never be negotiated with. They'll never be talked down. They'll never be placated. Someone needs to stand up against them. Someone needs to fight against them. And we are in a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual war. It's raging right now. And we need people to open their mouths with boldness and to speak the truth on these issues and to fight these terrorists. Amen. These terrorists need to be contended with. We need to fight for these children. And you know what? If just one less child, or if one child less is molested less, if we save one child by preaching the truth, it's worth it. There's one less person molested. It's worth it. We should love the children and God enough to fight for them. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us the truth of the Bible, whether it be good, bad, or ugly. I pray that we would just embrace the truth and we'd be willing in the spiritual battles that we have of our day, be willing to stand against evil, be willing to fight for the truth, to love children, to love innocence, to fight for God, to fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you would put it in every single man's heart and every woman's heart, every child's heart in this room, to not have pity and empathy for the bloody and deceitful man, to not sympathize for this evil and this wickedness, but rather to fight against it and to love truth and make sure that they are on the right side of history. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.